the mitzvah that I have chosen from this coming week's Sedra is the mitzvah of kibud av va'em, honoring a parent. Where is it in the Sedra? Esav. Esav, Chazal say, was the paradigm of honoring a parent. He went out of his way to honor his father specifically, more than kimat anyone ever did, and the merit that he accrued for that mitzvah till Esav will be vanquished stands in his stead. It's one of the merits that Esav has, why his progeny still exist. Okay, so we're going to speak about kibud av va'em. Let's start with the reasons, the ideas behind the mitzvah. The Sefer HaChinuch says that the mitzvah is predicated on hakaras hatov, on gratitude. Parents did tremendous things for their children in bringing them up, clothing, food, education, all kinds of benefits that the child got from the parent, and the child owes the parent. Okay? And in fact, the Chayyogim says it's mamash like a payment of a debt. Parents invested a lot in these children that the children now owe the parents. In addition, addition to all the good things that a parent may have done for their children, even if the parent abandoned the child at birth, the child still is required to honor that parent, because if the parent didn't give the child anything, gave them life, brought them into this world. So if that's the last thing the parent gave the child is life, and after that he gave him nothing, still, the child owes the parent a tremendous debt. And therefore, even if the parents are not good to the child, they still gave the person life. They still owe that parent a debt of gratitude. And the Chayyogim says that there are people who say, I didn't ask my parents to have me. They did it for their own reasons. People have these desires to be parents. Right? They want children. They enjoy having children. So why do I owe my parents a debt of gratitude? The Chayyogim says that is a totally distorted kind of philosophy. Because you owe people a debt of gratitude not because of their intention, but because of what you gained. If you gain good from somebody, then you have a debt of gratitude to them. It doesn't make a difference what their intention was. You benefited. So you now, you got something, you have to pay it back with a debt of gratitude. And therefore, according to this, the mitzvah of kibud av va'em would be more a mitzvah between man and man than a mitzvah between man and God. Because it's predicated on a debt of gratitude to the parents, which is something that's between man and man, not between man and God. However, the Sfarim say that there's another addition to this debt of gratitude. If you recognize the debt of gratitude you have to the two physical partners in a person's makeup, his mother and father, then you'll come to recognize the debt of gratitude you have to the third partner even greater. The father and mother just give the physical parts of a person, but the Rabbanu Shalom gives the soul. So if you're thankful for the physical part, which is very temporary and temporal, then how much more so do you have to be thankful for the neshama, which is eternal? So the way that you come to appreciate the third invisible partner is by appreciating the two visible partners. So therefore, kibud av va'em, even though it's predicated on being gracious, feeling a debt of gratitude to the parents, it also has an aspect between man and God, because that gratitude leads one then to have gratitude to God. And that's why it says, hukash kvodom l'kvod hamakom, that the honor of a parent is equal to honoring God, because from honoring a parent you come to honor God. That's one idea. The Avarvanel says another idea. The Avarvanel says that honoring a parent strengthens the idea of tradition. By honoring those that came before you, right, you strengthen the, every, all of Judaism is built on tradition, right? We received the Torah. How do I know that? We went out of Egypt. How do I know that? Because my parents told me. How did they know that? Because their parents told them. The more respect you have for parents, for previous generations, the stronger the concept of tradition of Mesorah becomes. If you don't respect the people before you, then you don't respect tradition either. And there is no tradition. And since Judaism is based on tradition, on the chain, the unbroken chain from the exodus from Egypt, from the giving of the Torah, generation after generation, you need to respect the generations that came before. Even more than that. They say that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal was once traveling by plane, and the person in the seat next to him was a secular newspaper columnist, I think. And Rabbi Yaakov was traveling with some of his children and grandchildren, and they served him like a king. Every 2 minutes they came to ask him if he needs anything or whatever. So the secular newspaper columnist said, I really envy you. Your children and grandchildren treat you like you're a king. My children, at best, ignore me. They surely do not treat me with any respect. So Yaakov said, it's simple to explain why. He says, from your secular philosophy, you believe in evolution. Right? So we evolved from the apes. We believe that we came from Adam Harishon, who was close to God, who was God's creation. Right? So my children look at me as one link closer to God's handiwork. Your children look at you as one step closer to an ape. Why should they respect you? Right? So this idea of the tradition going back, right, the chain, the unbroken chain, a link in a chain, if you look back, you're getting closer and closer to Har Sinai, closer and closer to Yetzias Mitzrayim, closer and closer to the first man and woman who were created by God. So that strengthens also this idea of tradition. If that's the case, then Kibbutz Avaim is pretty much predominantly a mitzvah between man and God. It's not for the sake of the parent that you honor them. It's for the sake of tradition. It's the sake of the Torah. So that's a mitzvah between man and God. So we see that it has both ideas in it. I was thinking of something that I think is true and very interesting. And that is, there are two aspects to honoring a parent. There's kavod, which is honor, and yira, which is respect. Now, it would seem to me that the idea of honoring the parent, meaning feeding them, clothing them, whatever, is the payment for the debt of gratitude, because they did that for you. So now you do that for them. Okay? So all of the things that are included in kavod are more aligned with the idea of gratitude. And on the other hand, those things that are involved with respect more have to do with the strengthening of tradition. I respect what came before me, right? Because of that, I respect the tradition. So if that's the case, like, you can understand what a Gemara says very interestingly. Gemara says like this, that God knew that a child honors his mother by nature more than his father. So therefore, it put the father before the mother in the midst of honoring, to equal them out. And God knew that a child respects his father more than his mother, so it put the mother first by respect to equal them out. Now normally, you would learn that the reason a child honors his mother more than his father is because the mother dotes on him and feeds him or whatever, so he feels more close to the mother. And the Gemara says, and the father teaches him Torah, so he has more respect for him. But I think that that's not the idea. I think the idea, according to what we said, is the following. Since the basis of honoring a parent is the debt of gratitude, who do you have more of a debt of gratitude to? Your mother for bringing you in this world, or your father? Right? The mother had a much closer, right, part in bringing you into this world than the father. She went through 9 months, right, of morning sickness or whatever, and a painful birth. The father didn't have that. So if you're looking, who do you owe a debt of gratitude to, that part of the mitzvah, which is aligned with honor, that's the mother. On the other hand, if you're looking, who do you have to respect more in vis-a-vis tradition, who's the one who teaches you Torah? The father. So that is that's why a child, that when it comes to respecting the parents, the father is the one who's the main object. When it comes to honoring, the mother is, because respect is predicated on strengthening tradition, and honor is predicated on a debt of gratitude. That makes a lot of sense then, why the father is more with this side and the mother more with this side. Yet the Torah tells me that you have to honor and respect them equally. Therefore, it puts the opposite one first, where you would think that the other one would come first. Okay, what is the reward for honoring your parents? First of all, it is something that a person is ochel peroseyem ba'olam hazeh, ba'keren kayemes la'olam haba. It's one of those mitzvahs that you get rewarded both in this world, you eat the fruits of the mitzvah in this world, and the main part of the mitzvah remains for the world to come. And the reason is, because like we said, it has an aspect between man and man, and mitzvahs between man and man, you get rewarded in this world, and mitzvahs between man and God, the main thing is in the next world. The second thing the Torah promises for this mitzvah is long life, arichas yomim. My understanding of that is, if you appreciate your parents, you appreciate life. If you don't appreciate your parents, you don't appreciate the life they gave you. So why should God give you more life if you don't appreciate it? So length of days is a natural result of appreciating your parents, because it shows you appreciate life. Rav Sadia Gomes has another idea. He says God made a person's life, how long he's going to live, dependent on how he honors his parents for the following reason. Parents getting older, and they become more difficult to take care of. So secretly, privately, the kid is waiting for the parents to die so he can be free from the bother. Okay, so God says, don't be so fast to want your parents to die early, because I'm making your longevity depending on how you honor your parents. And if you can't forgive the parents, you're not forgiving yourself. So if you don't enjoy your parents living long, you're not going to live long either. So you better want your parents to live long so you can honor them so you'll live long, because they're dependent one on the other. That's what Sadia Gomes says. The Abarbanel says that the mitzvah is more of a positive idea. If you honor your parents, then God will give you children who will honor you, and the more you honor your parents, the more time your children will be able to honor you. You'll live longer. Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld says another idea. He says sometimes honoring a parent takes up a person's time, and he doesn't have time to do the things that he would like to do for himself because he's busy taking care of his parents. So God says, don't worry, I'll give you extra long life, so you'll make up for the time that you spent on your parents. You'll have extra time for yourself too. Okay, now, it says that the mitzvah is a greater mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael than in Chutz Laretz. Torah says, L'man yirbu yimeichem al ha'adoma. Right? It says on the land. There, it says, Kavizavich ha'shem tziv ha'shem lokech l'man yirbu yimeichem. Alvo Adoma. There it also says, in order that you have long life, Alvo Adoma. So the Netziv points out that mitzvahs done in Eretz Yisrael are a greater caliber of mitzvah, much more qualitative mitzvah, and therefore the reward is greater. Even though logically it doesn't seem to make any difference if you honor your parents in Eretz Yisrael or outside of Eretz Yisrael, but Eretz Yisrael is special insofar that the mitzvahs done here, all the mitzvahs, even the ones that are rational mitzvahs, like Kibud Av V'Em, are on a greater level, more intense, and therefore the reward is greater. And the opposite is also true. The punishment for not, honoring your parents is a very serious punishment. It causes the Shechina to go away from Klal Yisrael and causes a person to get Yisurim, suffering, and to have his life shortened. It's a very serious sin. And there's a special klala, a special curse in the Torah for someone who or makla of the imo, someone who insults his parents. At the other extreme, the opposite of honoring him. Okay, now men and women are equally responsible for this mitzvah when they are both unmarried. A married man is just as responsible to honor his parents as an unmarried man. But a married woman is exempt from honoring her parents if honoring her parents will interfere with honoring her husband. The honor for her husband comes before the honor of her parents. So honor, we'll see, means servicing them. Right? If the husband says, I want my supper now, and the father says, I want my supper now, then the woman listens to her husband and not to her father. But if it doesn't interfere with the husband is not interfered with at all, he's just being stubborn, then she's responsible to her father, right, as long as it does not interfere with what she can do for her husband or whatever. However, in all situations, she is just as responsible to respect her parents as an unmarried woman and a man, right? This only affects honoring her parents. In other words, giving them service. But respect, it doesn't affect her husband at all, right? So therefore, she's just as responsible as a man. Yes? We'll get to it. Yeah. Right. No, it's awe and respect. We'll see. We'll see how what the Torah Shabbat test says, right? Ish avi v'imo tiro, or what it means, how it translates into action. Just like any mitzvah, a person, when he honors his parents, he should have in mind that he's doing a mitzvah. Right? The mitzvahs need to be known that they're a mitzvah. You don't do it just because it's the thing to do. You do it because it's a mitzvah. And in this also we have another rule when it comes to mitzvahs. It's a bigger mitzvah to do a mitzvah yourself than to send an agent. Even though you're yotzei sometimes with an agent, it's still better to do it yourself. Right? You could hire somebody to prepare for Shabbos for you. It's a bigger mitzvah to do it yourself. Same thing. You could hire somebody maybe to take care of your parents. It's a bigger mitzvah to do it yourself. Sometimes, though, you're not capable of doing it yourself. You have to hire somebody because they're capable. You're not capable. That a parent needs nursing around the clock, you just can't do it. You're not capable of providing that, then you have to do it in the hands of the capable people. And there's also another aspect of this. You are responsible to train your children to be the kind of mitzvah. In other words, you should teach your, just like you teach your children all the mitzvahs, you teach them how to take an esrog and lulav and how to bench and how to daven, you have to teach them how to honor their parents too. Right? Not, because it's a mitzvah. Now, what does this mitzvah entail? What is it, so kavod, let's start with kavod, honoring a parent. So the svarim say that honor is in thought, speech, and action. Thought is, honor means I consider my parents important people. Even if they're not necessarily especially important, but to me they're important. I consider them, therefore the Chachmas Adam says kavod comes from the kaved. Kaved means heavy. Okay, I think we said this before. In the 60s, there was a slang, right, expression, wow, that's a heavy thing, right? It didn't mean have anything to do with dieting, right? Today, heavy is has negative connotations because we live in a a youth-oriented society. So being heavy is a negative thing, right? People are going crazy. Anorexia, whatever, is a result sometimes of psychologically of people be thinking that if you're overweight or whatever, you're not a good person, and therefore they go crazy not to eat or whatever. In any case, but in the 60s, that didn't happen yet. That wasn't yet the craze in the world. And therefore, the slang heavy meant important. It meant something, in Yiddish we say farnenzen ort. It occupies a space, and you can't just push it out of the way. It's a heavy thing, heavy idea, right? That was the normal slang in those days, for those who remember. In any case, so that's right. You have to feel your parents are heavies. They're important people. Okay, that's in thought. In speech, you should speak to them in a respectful way, right? And when you speak to other people, you should ask for things in the honor of the parent. Even if you know that somebody will do something for you for your sake, but make it look like you're doing it because your parents are important. Do it for the sake of my parents. And in action, it's giving them service, feeding them, giving them to drink, helping them to go places or whatever if they need it, right? And also, all the things that lead up to those things. Taking them shopping, if they need somebody to take them shopping. Giving them service of what, taking care of their needs, okay? Now, that also includes visiting them, calling them on the phone, right, if they feel that they need that that contact, okay? The Rambam holds there is no chiyuv, however, even as part of honoring your parents or respecting them, to love them. You have to honor them, respect them, you don't have to love them. But obviously, right, you can't make it obvious that you don't love them, that's not very respectful, okay? But you don't have to have that feeling of love for a parent. If you don't have it, you don't have it. It's obviously a positive thing to love your parents, but it's not part of the requirement of the Torah. On the other hand, the Chayyadim brings down a Zohar that seems to say that there's a mitzvah to love your parents like you love God. So there is a mitzvah to love them also. Now, it doesn't include what most people think honoring a parent is, listening to them. That is not really part of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is giving them service where they benefit. But if they have no personal benefit, wear your sweater, right? It's 98 degrees outside, right? And I'm chalishing as it is. No, my mother's cold. She wants me to wear a sweater, right? So if listening to them will not cause you any pain, loss of money, shalom bias problems, then you have to listen to them, okay? But if it's going to cause you pain, you're going to get sick wearing a sweater at 98 degrees, right? And that's Fahrenheit. Or it's going to cause shalom bias problems. It's going to cause you a loss, right? Or I don't want to be a doctor. I can't stand the sight of blood, right? So my mother says, you have to be a doctor. I don't have to listen to that. If it's going to cause me discomfort or whatever, that's not part of the mitzvah. It doesn't cause me any discomfort, doesn't cause me any loss, doesn't cause me shalom bias problems, then one should listen. But it's not the main part of the mitzvah. Okay, next. The responsibility to honor a parent is with the parent's money. In other words, the parent says, I'd like a steak. Very good, right? Could you give me the money? I'll go buy you the steak. I'll make it for you. I'll serve it to you, but I don't have to pay for it. The responsibility of the monetary thing is on the parent, not on the child, okay? On the other hand, if a parent doesn't have money and the child has money, then the parent is the first one to give tzedakah to. So you may not be required to support a parent or to pay for their needs because of the mitzvah of honoring a parent, but you're required to do it because of the mitzvah of tzedakah. And more than that, if you have enough money to support your parents from your own funds, not from your miser money, not from the tenth that you take off anyway for charity, then you have to support them from your own funds and not from charity money. Because supporting with charity money is demeaning, even if they don't know about it. Right? And if you don't have enough money, and you have to use your charity money, then at least you shouldn't let the parents know they're using charity money, so it shouldn't be demeaning. Okay. Next thing that's included in COVID is standing for them. Okay? This halacha is you have to stand up, not just like this, but stand up completely. Erect. You have to stand up for them. Whenever you see them enter the room where you are, you don't have to stand up for them if they're outside. But from the time you see them enter, if you're sitting over there, they walk into the door, you have to stand up. Halacha. And you stand up until they get to where they're going in that room. And then you can sit down. And, however, for Ashkenazim, all you have to do is stand up once in the morning and once in the evening. You don't have to stand up every day they come into the room. If you live together with your parents, right? And every time they walk in the room, you don't have to jump up. Once in the morning, once in the evening. Unless there are people around who didn't see you stand yet and will think that you're not standing for them, then you have to stand every time there's somebody new around who didn't see you stand yet. But if you're in a normal situation, there's nobody else around, just you and your parents, once in the morning, once in the evening. If you're a Sephardi, you have to stand up for your parents every time they walk into the room throughout the day. Okay? Okay. Now, that's...
Why is the difference?
Because there's a difference of opinion. There's a difference of opinion in the Gemara, how many times you have to stand up for them. And the Sephardim pass them like this one, and the Ashkenazim pass them like this one. Okay, any questions on honoring a parent? We finished now what's included in honoring a parent. Now we'll go to respect, more. Okay, respect means the following. First thing is you can't contradict your parents. Okay, you can't, the father says something, the mother says something, you can't say, you're wrong. That's not right. You can't even be machriya divrei, which means the following. Your father is having an argument with somebody else, and you think the other guy's right. So you say, he's right. You're not allowed to say that. You can't not only not say you're wrong, you can't even say the other guy's right. Now, obviously, this is absurd in certain cases, right? For instance, your father is driving, and he says, okay, I guess we have to make a left turn over here. And you know that if you make a left turn, right, you're going to go off a cliff, or you're going to get lost, right? And you're not going to be able to make a U-turn for the next 20 miles. So if you don't contradict your father, right, it's going to be a big thing. So therefore, the halacha is you can't contradict him or your mother in a definite, absolute way. You are wrong. No, that's wrong. But you can raise an argument respectfully and say, I really think that maybe it's not left, but right. Maybe we should consider this before you make the turn. Right? That you can do. You can, your father says something in, what's it called, history, or in halacha, you're allowed to say, I don't think that that's the way it is, and you can then argue it out. But you can't say, even if you know definitively your father's wrong, you can't say it definitively. You can only say it as a point of argument and discussion. Okay. But that you can do. Next thing, let me just finish this thing, and then you can ask any question you want on respect. Next thing that's respect, you're not allowed to sit in their place that is meant for them. Father has a seat at the head of the table, you can't sit in that seat, even if he's not there. Unless he gives you permission. We'll see, a parent can forego these things. Can tell the children, I don't want you to stand up for me, you can sit in my chair, but you're only not allowed to sit in the chair. But if you want to stand on the chair to change a light bulb, that you can do. But it's sitting, that's disrespectful. Sit in the place where it's, or the same thing, your father's seat in shul, your mother's seat in shul. That's their special place. Even if they have a place where they stand, right? That's the place where they stand. They sit in one place, and when it comes to Seishvan Esrei, they stand up in another place. That's their place for standing. You can't stand in that place either without their permission. Okay, another thing. You can't call them by name. Okay? Now, that becomes difficult in certain situations, which we'll get to in a second. Therefore, under certain circumstances, if you say, Father so-and-so, right? Father Binyamin. Your father's name is Binyamin. You can't call him Binyamin. Okay? You can't even refer to him when he's not present as Binyamin. Somebody says to you, what's your father's name? You can't say Binyamin. What you can say is, my father Binyamin. Right? Avi Mori Binyamin. That's his name. Right? Right? But obviously people know his name's not Father. Right? My father, Binyamin. Right? You don't have to say Father Binyamin, don't think he's a priest or whatever, but you can say my father, Binyamin. Okay? You can't even write his name. However, here, if it's very uncomfortable or almost impossible to fill out forms for the government and every time write, my mother, so-and-so, my father, so-and-so, then you're allowed to write their name. Writing is okay without the title. But speaking, you should always mention the title. If they're in their presence, some hold, then even the title helps. Even in their presence, you can say to them, right, or in their presence, somebody else, my father, Binyamin, right? Where it would be, a person's a godly in the shul, and he has to give his father an aliyah. So some say he can call his father up, Mori, Avi, Mori, Binyamin, Ben, so-and-so. Even though his father's there, he's calling him up. But he, in his presence, he can say his name as long as he adds Avi Mori. And some say in his presence, the title doesn't help. You don't mention his name at all. You just say, Avi Mori, my father should get the aliyah. You don't mention his name at all. And that's better to do like that. Well, we'll get to the brother in a second. Maybe more than a second. Okay. Now, so that's calling them by name. To call them by name in their presence, not in their presence, to write it is always awesome. To add the, except by writing, not in their presence, when you have to fill out forms, and it's impossible to do the other way, you can do it like this. To use a title, some say even in their presence is okay. Better not to rely on that. Better, but not in their presence, you can use a title and mention their name. Okay, how about calling other people who have the same name as your parents, right, by their name, right? So then some say that in the presence of the parent, it's always usher to use somebody else's name, to call somebody else by the same name of your parent. Your parent's name is Binyamin, right? You can't call your friend Binyamin, right, in your father's presence. And not in their presence, then it depends. If it's a regular, normal name like Binyamin, a lot of people have the name Binyamin, then not in their presence, this opinion says, is okay. But if the name is an unusual name, right? Your father's name is something that many people don't have that name, right? Okay, your mother's name is, I don't know, Sprintzefreda. In Israel, not too many people have that name. So it's an unusual name, and it happens to be another Sprintzefreda. Then that name, even not in her presence, you can't use, because it's obvious that it's your mother's name. Okay. And others hold that not in their presence, okay, and others hold, not in their presence, you can say any name, even a name that's unusual. In their presence, you can use a regular name, but that's when you can't use the unusual name. Okay? And Lamaisa, you can, be lenient in this, and you're allowed to use your parents' name if it's a normal name, not an unusual name, even in their presence. You can call somebody else, right? Hey, Binyamin, even though that's your father's name. Even if your father's there. Okay. How about a man whose name is Abba? Can the children call him Abba? Because that's his name. Right? So, but they don't mean to call him by his name. They mean to call him father. Right? Or in English, the guy's name is Dad. Right? Right? Can you call him Dad? You don't mean to call him by his name. You mean to call him by his title. So here, some say it's Osir, some say it's Mutter. It's better not to refer to him as Abba, maybe call him Tati, call him Dad, whatever his name is, Abba. And they have in the Sefer I saw brought out, what? this obviously by Svardim, right? If your mother's name is Mazel Tov, can you give her a Mazel Tov, right? Can you say Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov? You can't say Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, that for sure not, right? Can you say Mazel Tov, mother, right? Because their name is Mazel Tov. Same thing as Abba. Even here, though, it's even better because it's obvious that you're not calling her by a name. You're just giving her a greeting. Okay. What? Well, some people's names are Mazel Tov. Yeah? Okay. Another thing of respect. You're not allowed to wake up your parents. Okay? Unless, by not waking them up, they will have a loss. They will be upset if you don't wake them up. They want to get up, okay? They have a plane to make, but I never wake up my parents, right? And they overslept and they missed the plane and who knows what came from that, okay? You're allowed, then you have to wake them up. It's going to cause them sad. But if the child's going to lose something by not waking up the parent, his name is Gemara, then you're not allowed to wake up your parent unless the parent will be so upset that you lost something. Right, since you're supporting him or whatever, right? And if you lose, he's going to lose out too. Then you're allowed to wake him up. Mitzvah. Right? Father has to get up to daven. Okay? And he's going to oversleep davening completely. Or some other mitzvah that he has to do, you can wake him up. Or her. Another part of respect. If you see your parents doing something wrong, you're not allowed to give them mussar as you would anybody else, right? And say, hey, you're not allowed to do that. You have to say, I think there may be a problem with what you're doing. Check into it. Didn't you teach us that this is not the proper thing to do? It has to be done in a way where you don't categorically condemn the parent, but you just raise the issue in a very respectful way. Okay? The mitzvah of honoring a parent and respecting a parent applies even after their death. Okay? For many of us, that's what's nogea here. Okay? You have to honor them, respect them. Part of that is saying Kaddish, learning Mishnayos in their observing a yahrzeit, right, getting them a tombstone, whatever, all the things that would be considered honor for someone who's no longer alive, and the same thing, respect. You can't refer to them by their name, even after they're dead. Same halachas. And also, when you mention their names, for the first year, you say, Hareini Kaparas Mishkava. And after the first year, that which means, I am the atonement for his or her, what's it called, where they rest, okay? I will atone. I accept upon myself to atone for their sins, or whatever that means. And what's it called? After the 12 months, then you say Zichrono Levracha Lechayo L'Mabo. His name be blessed for the world to come. Okay. Now, what happens if there's a conflict between honoring your mother and honoring your father? Your mother says, "I want a drink of water." Your father says, "I want a drink of water." You can only bring one of them. Or who do you go? Who do you go first? So the halacha is, since a mother is responsible to honor her husband, so both the mother and the son are responsible to honor the father. So therefore, you honor the father before the mother. However, if they're divorced, then the mother isn't responsible to honor her divorced husband. Therefore, they're equal. So you can choose anyone you want, or whatever, take the glass of water, put it between them, let them fight it out. Okay. Person's parents are Rishoyim. They're wicked people. Okay? Wicked in this respect, meaning they are what's it called? They're Ganovim, one kind of wicked person. They are Mechallel Shabbos, wicked in between man and God. So some say that a child is not required to honor a parent who is a Rasha, okay, who's a sinner, and others say you have to, and the halacha is you have to. Unless they are wicked, not because they just do sins because they enjoy doing sins, but they do sins because lahachas, they're mishumad, they're apikursin, then you don't have to honor them. But if they're normal people, that's like any other sinner, or especially if they never learned, like Tinoko Shanishbu, the people who never had a Jewish education, right? Then you definitely have to honor them, both when they're alive and after they're dead. So you say, Kaddish, what? What do you mean, convert? Oh, not if the parents convert to another religion. Okay, we'll get to that. Next thing. A adopted child. Okay. Has to honor his biological parents if he knows who they are, even if they never did anything for him, like we said before, because they gave life. He also has to honor his adopted parent, but not with the same halachas of honoring a biological parent. But he has to honor them because he owes them a debt of gratitude. So out of debt of gratitude, he has to give them honor of what would be normal, the kind of honor you give to somebody who raised you or whatever. It is Osir, Ger, and convert, whose parents are not Jewish, has to honor them too. He has to honor them, not with all these halachas that we say, doesn't have to stand up for them twice a day or whatever. He has to honor them, what's accepted in the world to be honor for a parent. The reason is that people shouldn't say, "Oh, you see, when he was a goy, he honored me. Right? Now he became a Jew, he doesn't honor his parents." So that means that he went to a lesser holiness because now he doesn't honor his parents. Before he used to. So you have to honor them at least as much as what's accepted in the world to be considered proper honor for a parent. But these halachas that go beyond that, that you're not required. Okay, you're not allowed to listen to a parent if they tell you to go against the Torah. Not only aren't you required, you're not allowed. Your parent says, "Cook me up a steak on Shabbos." Okay, you're not allowed to listen to them, even though you are negating kibud avoei by not making your parent the steak, but you're not being mechal Shabbos. And since your parents are required to listen to God as much as you are, right, so they can't tell you to go against God. That applies even to minhagim, right? Bona fide minhagim, a parent can't tell you to go against a minhag either. However, things that are not real minhagim, there are things that you want to do that may be very nice, but they're not required. There, it really depends if it's going to cause the parents tsar or whatever. You want to get up every night at midnight, right, and say tikkun chatzos. And that may not be a good example because it's really brought down a Shulchan Aruch to do that. And your parents say, I don't want you getting up at midnight and doing anything, right? Could be that is a bona fide minhag. Let me think of something that's not. You want to fast every Monday and Thursday. Okay, it's not a minhag, and it's not something that's a milui de chassidus. And your mother says, nothing doing. You're too scrawny as it is, right? I got to shovel the food into you on Monday and Thursday too, not just on the rest of the week, right? Then you're not allowed to do that if it really would cause your parent a tsar if you're going to do that. What? Yeah, that's only if the parents object. Their parents didn't object. Yeah, but it wasn't necessarily a minhag that somebody had to do.
Okay.
Another thing, that you don't have to listen to your parent. Who to marry? Parent says, I want you to marry this girl. You don't have to marry them. Or the parent says, I don't want you to marry that girl or that boy. You don't have to listen to them. You can marry who you want. It's a mitzvah. And however, if, what? It's a mitzvah. You don't have to listen to a parent. No, it's a mitzvah. Because marrying somebody is a mitzvah. And marrying who you want is part of that mitzvah. And therefore the parent can't tell you. I understand, no, but that's part of the mitzvah. People can't just marry anybody, right? People marry people they want to marry. So since that is part of the mitzvah, right, marrying somebody you feel compatible with, right, not just going and knocking somebody over the head and dragging him into a cave, right? Right? That is the mitzvah, so therefore the parent can't interfere with that mitzvah. I wanted to fill this mitzvah, and this is the person now, there's an exception to that. If marrying that person will cause the parent embarrassment, objective embarrassment, then you can't marry that person. For instance, a woman wants to marry Al Capone, right? Or Arafat, right? Just an interesting side point. There was never a person, I think, in history that was such a controversy if he's alive or dead. Right? But I think it makes a lot of sense. Because Arafat has been dead and brain dead for 70 years. So to distinguish between being really dead and really brain dead and only partially dead and partially brain dead is very difficult. More normal people are alive and they're dead. So you can make the distinction. It's very easy. But with him, he's been dead for a long time and brain dead for even longer. And therefore, what's just very hard to distinguish between the fine nuances of how brain dead and how dead. Okay, just in case you needed a commentary on the news.
Was that the objective?
What?
Was that the objective?
Of this sheer? I don't know. That's the part you'll remember, for sure. The,
it's also on tape.
The...
Baruch Hashem. He should suffer as much as possible now. Later on, he definitely will suffer, right? And he deserves whatever he gets, right? He should get more and more. And they should kill each other out afterwards. And between his wife and the dead, it's a Kiddush Hashem to see Rishoyim suffer. That's all. And he deserves, for the Jews that he killed, the Rishus, the Russia he was, the tsar that he caused the Jewish people in the world throughout his life, right, is not enough that he can get, that we should be able to see to him. Not just what he'll get afterwards, which we can't see. Okay, next. What that has to do with Kibbutz Avayim, I'm not sure 100%, but, okay. So one second, yeah. If you want to marry Arafat, right, that's an embarrassment. So, but it has to be objective. If your mother says, I don't want you to marry that guy, he's sitting and learning Torah, right? That's not an objective embarrassment to marry somebody sitting and learning Torah. Okay? The mother may feel it's an embarrassment, but that's not really objectively an embarrassment. Okay? Also, it has to be if it causes the parents sorrow, if it causes the parents pain. Right? You're marrying this person, it causes us a pain, it pains us, it embarrasses us, whatever. It has to be objective. Not where the father or the mother says, "You're giving me a heart attack." Right? That doesn't wash. Right? If it's just, you know, very subjective. Okay. Okay, now, there are other people that you have to honor also, aside from parents. They are your stepmother or stepfather. Your father remarried. The wife of your father, or the husband of your mother, you have to respect. That's part of respecting your father and mother. Therefore, according to the strict halacha, you only have to honor them while the father or mother is still alive. After the death of the father or mother, you don't really have to honor the stepmother or stepfather, but it's proper to continue honoring them even after the death of the father or mother. Now, this is from the Torah. There's a Torah halacha that you must honor your father, stepfather and stepmother. However, it doesn't have the same strictness as honoring your parents. For instance, you don't have to stand up for them from when you see them, only when they come within 4 amos, 7 feet of you. Come right in your vicinity, you have to stand up for them. And you don't have to, what's it called, have respect for them. You don't, you can call them by their name, but it's not proper to do that. But you can call them by their name with a title, even to their face. But the halachas of respect don't apply, but the halachas of honor do. Because it says, kabed es avicha, the es imecha, the es includes a lot of things. Okay, it includes that for sure. However, again, but it's proper to respect them, not necessarily with the halachas of respect that one wouldn't do just from rationale, but rationally, the things that are rational respect, you have to respect them also. Next thing, the next person you have to respect, aside from your parents, is your grandparents. Grandmothers, grandfathers, maternal and paternal. Some say this is a Torah law, some say it's only rabbinic. And here again, the halacha is basically honor, standing up for them, giving them service or whatever, but not necessarily respect. So you can really call your grandparents by their name, but it's not the proper thing to do. Yes? Yeah, because they're one step removed. It's not a kavachom. It's a one step removed. Your parents have to honor their parents because they're directly, like, benefited from them. But you didn't directly benefit from your grandparents. You only indirectly did. You benefited through your parents. So it's one step removed, right? It's less of a responsibility. Okay? That's why you don't have to honor your great-grandparents. That nobody holds. Because it's two steps removed. And the truth is that the connection between a child and a parent is much stronger than the connection between a grandparent and a grandchild. Right? Huh? Yeah, yeah, that's for sure. But you also love to close the door when the, you know, say, oh, I'm a grandfather. right? They are much easier to show. Children, they're always there, right? You can't, the grandchild, bye, go back to your parents or whatever. Visit's over. And great-grandchildren already, it's less removed. By the time it gets, I don't have any great-grandchildren, but it's not the same as children.
You're wrong.
Yeah, great-grandchildren is... Okay, I hope to see that that's the case. But again, it's a different story, It says that Rachmei Ma'av go 3 generations. After that, you don't really feel... You may enjoy them, they're cute or whatever, but to really feel they're mine, it's not the same thing. Huh? Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, but that's not the same thing as a parent. That's right. Yeah. But you can have grandparents who aren't elderly. You can have young grandparents too. Yeah. Right. Till 3 generations. More than that now. Okay. Next thing you have to honor. Your older sister or older brother. Not even if they're the oldest. Just older than you. So if you're the 11th in the family and you have 10 brothers and sisters older than you, you have to honor all of them. Now that doesn't mean you can't necessarily, some say that that's from the Torah, some say it's only rabbinic. Okay, here again, It basically includes what's it called, standing up for them and servicing them, but it doesn't include many of the other halachas. Some, many hold that you're allowed to call them by their name. Right? It doesn't apply over here. You can't call them by their name. Or you have to say brother so and so. If you keep doing that, you sound like a convent. Right? Father this and brother that, and sister this. The okay, next one you have to honor. Your mother-in-law and father-in-law. That's clearly only rabbinic. Okay, there's not even anybody who says for the Torah. It's only rabbinic. And here again, only honor but not respect. So theoretically, you can call your father and mother-in-law by their names. Some people do that. But it's really not proper. And you should call them either mother, father, right? Or in Abba, Ima, whatever. Or Bobby and Zaydi, right? So that's another way. Some children find it difficult to call their in-laws father and mother, right? They find it difficult to call them anything sometimes. What's it called? Hey, you, whatever. But if you have, you know, close ones, they can find it easy to call the father and mother. I guess it depends how they relate to their own father and mother also. Sometimes if they're very close to their father and mother, it's hard to call somebody else. Sometimes they don't like their father and mother, they want another one. So in any case, theoretically you were allowed to call your in-laws by name. It's not proper, but you have to honor them, stand up for them, show them honor. Okay, now, let's go from the other side. A parent should not be overly difficult on a child to demand all these things. A parent should, on the one hand, let the child respect them, because it teaches a child discipline and respect. It's wrong for a parent to deal with their children like they're one of their friends, which in America now is a very popular thing, right? Be your child's friend, right? You shouldn't demand any kind of respect or honor, right? Just be their friend, right? You can be very friendly to your children, but if your children's friend, they add one more friend and no parent. That's not a positive thing. Children need to respect a parent. They need parents to look up to and to learn discipline from. So, but a parent shouldn't make it too difficult for the child. And therefore, the halacha is if a parent is mochel, he foregoes. Don't stand up for me. You can sit in my place or whatever. That's okay. But he can't forego for them to insult him, embarrass him, or pain him. That the parent can't be mochel on. He can be mochel on his covet. He can't be mochel on his bizoyan or his tzar. However, even if the parent... Right. Yeah, okay, so it could be that if people don't know, then you have to make some effort to do it, or let them know that my parent forgo. Or, the halach is also, even if the parent forgoes, the parent says, you don't have to stand up for me. And the parent isn't pained by the fact that you stand, not embarrassed, right? Sometimes the parent says, oh, look, I have secular friends. You're going to be jumping up every time I walk into the room, right? I don't want that. It's embarrassing to me. Then you're not allowed to stand up. But the parent says, look, I appreciate it. In fact, you want to stand up, I'm not knocking on it. But you know that if you stood up, you'd feel good, right? He just doesn't want you to have to do it. Then there's a mitzvah still to stand up, and you get the mitzvah even though he was mochel. It's not like standing up when there's no mitzvah. You're still standing up. There's a mitzvah. One more thing. However, if the father said, listen, you don't have to take me shopping. Okay, the mother said, you don't have to take me shopping, right? But you know that if you don't take her shopping, it's going to be very difficult for her. And it could be you get punished for not doing it, even though she was mochel. Because the maisa, you should have realized that you have to do her necessity. She wouldn't be your mother, right? You should help her out. However, if the parent is mochel, and the parent really doesn't want you to do it, right? It's like the proverbial taking the woman across the street or doesn't want to cross the street, right? Then there's no mitzvah at all, right? So you do things to your parents they don't want you to do. Right? Not just their mochel, they don't want it. Right? It causes them, right? They hate going shopping with you. Right? Right? They love to be by themselves. Right? You go shopping. My wife, right, loves to go shopping by herself. If I'm there, it destroys the whole shopping.
Stumbling.
What?
Stumbling block.
Yeah, it's a, what's it called? Only a stumbling block. What's it called? How long can you be in a store? More than 5 minutes. Right? Remember when we were in New York, my wife wanted to go in to see Macy's. Okay, so we walked in one door, And it took about 10 minutes to walk out the other door on the other side. And my wife said, that was the basis? I said, yeah, well, did we see everything? She said, well, we saw everything. What more could you possibly want? Her idea of seeing a store and my idea of seeing a store are completely different things. Besides the fact you go slower, you may buy something, which is So in any case, so it could be your mother just doesn't want you there, right? I don't want you to take me shopping. So that's the case. Don't force the issue. In that case, you're definitely potter, and it's a good thing not to do. Okay. Yeah, somebody have a question? Anybody? Okay.
Did your mother want you to be a rabbi?
What?
Did your mother want you to be a rabbi?
Did she want me to be a rabbi? After the fact, yes. Before the fact, tell you the truth, my mother, Allah Shalom, she once told me, you know, I told her, what's it called? She wanted me to go to college. I didn't go to college, but I told her I'm going to rabbinical college. She said, yeah, but what if it doesn't work out? And you won't be able to make a parnosa being a rabbi. You know, she didn't know that I'm going to come to Netanya every 2 weeks. It won't work out. You won't be able to make a parnosa, right? Maybe you should go to, like, law school or medical school just in case. I said, Ma, if I was going to medical school, would you say the same thing to me? What if it doesn't work out? And you won't be a good doctor. You won't make, maybe you should go to law school just in case, right? Nobody goes to law school just in case, right? You have to pick one thing and concentrate on it. So Baruch Hashem, she let me do what I wanted to do. And in the end, she was pretty happy that I ended up a rabbi. Okay, especially where she was my congregant. Okay. Okay. See you in 2 weeks, Mitzvah Hashem.